This is an Equity Bates Media podcast.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Equity Minds.
I will say this about investing. Everything you do learn is cumulative. What I learned at 20 is you can.
Welcome to another episode of Equity Mates, a podcast that follows our journey of investing. Whether you're an absolute beginner or approaching Warren Buffett status, our aim is to help break down your barriers from beginning to dividend. My name is Bryce, and as always, I'm joined by my equity buddy, Ren. How are you going?
I'm very good, Bryce. I always say I'm excited for this episode, so I will say I'm excited, but obviously, this may not feel like an exciting time. We probably sound like a broken record because the stock market is falling. But I am excited. I am excited to talk to you, and I am excited to pick up some bargains.
Yes, bargains galore out there at the moment with what's going on in markets. And we're going to have a look today at what some of the world's best investors are buying. We're comparing the pair between Warren Buffett and Cathie Wood.
The opposite ends of the investor spectrum, yes, one could say.
And taking a look at what they have been buying over the last quarter or so, given the current market conditions.
They might be opposites, but I think there's things we can learn from both of them.
I'm sure there
are. So we're not just going to list the companies.
I'm sure there are. They're experts. So before we crack in, though, we are very excited, if we're keeping the excited vibe, very excited that FinFest is fast approaching. Tickets for FinFest are going live on the 9th of June, so in a couple of weeks' time. To get early bird access, all you need to do is head to equitymates.com/finfest and register your details. You only get exclusive access to the early bird tickets if you are registered. So head to equitymates.com/finfest. Head to our Instagram and also on that website. We'll give you more information on what FinFest actually is. It's a day where we're going to have over 25 or 30 sessions hosted by some of the best investors from around Australia, covering topics across all levels of investing experience. So whether you are an absolute beginner or you are approaching Warren Buffett status, this is going to be the festival for you. Combine it with DJs, food trucks, entertainment. It's going to be a day that is a lot of fun down at Barangaroo. So tickets aren't going to be expensive. They're going to only be $37 for early bird. So make sure you get on that. Tickets available from the 9th of June. We're pumped.
All the education of an Equity Mates podcast with the vibe of Big Day Out.
That's it. Big Day Out. That's super old.
I was going to say Stereo.
Coachella.
I was going to say Stereosonic, but then it's not. You don't have to wear a singlet and go to the gym for 6 months to be able to go in.
I have been.
No, Bryce will not be running around topless until the after party.
So it's on the 15th of October. It's going to be awesome. And Sydney at this stage, next year, who knows? But we won't make it to year two unless this one's a success. So we would love to all see you down at FinFest in October.
All right. Anyway, Bryce, before October, there is 6 months of market, well, 5 months of market turmoil to get through. Before we get to Buffett and Cathie Wood, let's just talk about how we're going, how we're navigating this moment, because this podcast is about us learning in public, and let's learn in public. Okay. Let's make mistakes in public. What how's your portfolio? Like, what have you done anything?
Well, I think this time last week I sat here and said, hand on heart, I haven't sold anything.
Okay.
Times have changed.
Oh really? Okay.
All I've sold one stock, part of one stock, haven't done the full. Not really sure why, but I've sold part of my Setire holding.
Okay.
Because it was just an absolute dog's breakfast. I think I was down 86%.
Yeah.
And something that I've been thinking about recently is the reallocation of capital into better opportunities.
Yep.
And we're moving into tax time as well.
Yeah.
So going to take a few capital losses into tax time.
So I've been thinking about this tax loss harvesting as well. So for people that may not be across how that works, 30 seconds or less, why does it matter for your tax?
Well, you can claim a tax loss on any sort of capital gains that you might be claiming for that year as well, or you can carry that tax loss through to subsequent years. That capital loss through to subsequent years.
So you lose $100 on a stock.
Yeah.
You sell it.
Yeah.
And then you make $100 on a stock later. That $100 loss, as long as you report it at the time.
Yeah.
In that tax year, you can offset that loss against the future gain.
Yeah.
So you don't pay tax on the future gain.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of people have lost. Yeah. And so this is a moment to think, are there any positions that aren't worth holding on to that are a bit of a dog's breakfast? Because looking at my portfolio, there's certainly some dogs in there.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
I'm going to do the same.
Yeah.
I am going to sell some, crystallize those losses, report those losses this tax year, and then hopefully make some gains in the future.
Yeah, and when
that's a bit TBD.
But I think it's also an opportunity cost for me as well. Like, I don't have infinite amount of dry powder, but I do want to be taking advantage of some of the opportunities that are popping up. So I am taking a look at my portfolio and figuring out, yeah, what are some of those positions that, you know, either have done well enough on, or have taken a bit of a hit, and I've kind of lost my conviction and the thesis is broken a little.
Yeah.
So I think that's crucially important though, is that I'm not just selling things that are down for the sake of them, for the sake of tax. I am selling things that I feel I've lost conviction in and my thesis is broken. I think that's crucially important to understand.
Nice. Have you bought anything?
I've just continued to put into Gear and GJUST, so the leveraged ETFs. Obviously, the GJUST, which is the one over in the States, has taken more of a hit than the one here in Australia. And I have a bit of a watch list. I'm still remaining patient though.
Mm.
I think we're in a great opportunity at the moment. I'm just going to wait a little before I start doing individual stocks.
Fair enough.
But I haven't changed my DCA ETF strategy.
Mm.
Yeah.
So the ETFs and the stocks there that Bryce spoke about obviously are related to his personal investing strategy and his investing goals. And
yep.
You know, you've got to make your own decisions about what securities, what ETFs, what stocks are right for your portfolio and the, you know, right level and right time and all of that stuff. So just wanted to make clear that Bryce is not a model that you should emulate.
I wouldn't even look at me.
As he tells me every day, he's his own person with his own hopes and dreams.
That's it.
But yeah, I'm being a little bit less patient than you, I think. Because for me, it's like, you know, if something is 50% down and it will end up 70% down, I'm not too worried about getting it at 50. I would be kicking myself if I missed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up in a couple of weeks and my patience had the opportunity pass me by.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't put everything to work. I am going to sell some stuff similar to you to free up some money. But I've put a bit to work this week.
Nice.
Which is both exciting and nerve-wracking.
Well, to your point, like, you're in.
Yeah.
You're in.
Yeah.
So
I've had this in the back of my mind for a while, and I haven't had a good spot to put it in any of our content, and
okay.
We produce a lot of content.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to drop it in here, okay. Which is when you think about the stocks that are going to do really well out of this moment,
mm-hmm.
And we always – everyone is using the analogy of 2000 because – in 2000, 2001, tech stocks collapsed and a bunch of tech stocks went out of business, pets.com being the famous example. But out of that wreckage emerged Amazon. Google IPO'd in 2004, but Amazon, Apple, Microsoft, they all emerged and then, you know, are the dominant companies that we see today.
Yeah.
I think it's important to stress that they weren't unknown companies. So Apple and Microsoft obviously had been around for a while, but Amazon had only IPO'd a couple of years earlier. But it was incredibly well known. Mm. Jeff Bezos was Time's Man of the Year in 1999. Mm. So when you're thinking about this moment and you're analogizing in your head back to 2000, don't think that the stocks that emerge out of this are the unknown ones. The stocks that did the best out of 2000 were incredibly well known. Now, there were ones that didn't do as well, like IBM, HP, Dell, like they all were around that time and, they didn't have the same story as the Amazon, the Microsoft and the Apple. So you still have to do the work and find the right ones. But don't think that it's necessarily going to be a company that no one has heard of before.
Yeah.
Jeff Bezos was literally Time Man of the year before, and Amazon was probably the best example of coming out of that moment.
Mm.
So anyway, it was just a little tidbit that I had, but I thought it was relevant when people are thinking about the possibilities of this moment, the opportunities of this moment. Don't think it's like some stock that no one's ever heard of before. That's not what you need to find here. You just need to find the best company.
Yeah. Peloton. That is not the best company, by the way. I want to make that very clear.
What
as well.
We haven't seen is the bankruptcies. And we spoke about this last Monday with the
so
junk bond stuff.
So early in the piece, though.
Yeah, I know. But it's just an interesting one, I think. Like funding markets are drying up, interest rates are rising, stocks are falling. It feels like that is a domino that will tip over at some point. Some of these, like, massively...
Yeah, but let's also be clear and not forget that... This could be 2 years of slow pain. So, like,
do you want to know a fun stat that I heard on another podcast?
Sure.
There have only been four times in either the last 100 years or stock market history, I think the last 100 years in the US, that the market has seen two down years in a row.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, 1929 to like 1931, that was three. How am I going to remember this off the top of my head? So, yeah, 1929, then a couple of years after that, Great Depression. 1939 and 1940, World War II. Then 2 years in the 70s, like 73, 74. And then 2000 and 2001.
Mm.
But if you think about the other ones, like 87, big crash. But then
2008
it
almost made it.
Well, 2008 was the down year, but then the recovery started. Nine was bad, but then
it came through, yeah.
Yeah. It didn't have to recover from where it was the year. It just had to be
up for the year.
Yeah. So if that stat is wrong, I am going to defer all blame and say I heard it on another podcast this morning. But I think that's an interesting stat.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know what it means.
Don't know what to do about it, but.
All right, Ren. Well, let's get moving with comparing the pair. Warren Buffett, who obviously is well known with his Berkshire Hathaway, and Cathie Wood, who had became cult status during the COVID years, where her ARK invest funds went absolutely gangbusters with her high conviction on some of the best performing growth stocks. And she continues to double down, which we'll get to in a second. But let's start.
She continues to double down with one really notable and interesting exception.
Yeah, let's get to that in a second. So let's start with Warren Buffett, who we've spoken about, a number of times on the show, TikTok. He's been holding cash. In this context, he's been holding a lot of cash of late. $144 billion, I think, was the peak over the last year or so. And he kept sort of saying that he felt there weren't many great opportunities out there for him to invest in. But now he's putting the cash to use.
Yeah. Everyone was like, what the? US treasuries don't pay anything and that's all you're buying.
Yeah.
But he is buying now. And year to date, the S&P 500 is down 17%. I think it's actually more since I pulled that number. Berkshire is up 2%. So not a massive gain, but relative to the overall stock market, these are Buffett's moments.
Yeah.
He had a decade of being ridiculed in the 90s and then he showed everyone in the early 2000s. Leading up to the GFC, everyone was like, Buffett, he's too old. And then he showed everyone in the GFC and he's doing it again.
Yeah, yeah.
So biggest headline, he's doubling down on Apple.
Big. So he bought another $600 million of Apple. I remember the first time he bought it, everyone's like, oh my God, he's bought Apple. He's said for so long he doesn't understand tech. He's staying away from it. Went large, made an absolute killing from it. It's now one of his largest holdings, and he's doubled down another $600 million in what is one of, I think it's the second most valuable company in the world now behind, or was a couple of weeks ago behind, Saudi Aramco.
Yeah, right. Oil prices.
Oil prices, yeah.
Berkshire owns about 5% of Apple. Mm. And that's not a small amount of money.
No, but he has.
I'd love to have it.
$100 billion large.
Well, cash. Yeah, if you call Apple $2 trillion market cap now, they own about 5%. $100 billion. So $600 million is small in the scheme of things.
Yeah.
So
it's a top up.
It's a top up. Yeah. It's a nibble.
Yeah, it's a nibble.
Yeah. He didn't take a full bite out of Apple. He yeah, anyway, you get it.
Yes.
But speaking of tech, he also invested in another technology company. And of all the technology companies that are down at the moment and just, you know, potentially big bargains, you wouldn't have expected this one. HP.
Hewlett-Packard.
Yeah.
He's done it again.
invested, he's gone and done it.
Invested $3.7 billion in Hewlett-Packard for a 11.4% stake. He's back in tech.
Yeah, I think this is just for the dividend though, apparently. Some of the reporting around it is...
Yeah, right.
Yeah, not exactly the sexy tech.
No.
The Buffett's still staying away school. From... Yeah.
Yeah.
Apple, HP... He's coming around.
Yeah.
But look, that's not the story. I think the real story is energy stocks.
Mm.
So he topped up his position in Chevron and then Occidental. Have you seen, like...
Heard of, not really across though.
So they have been probably Berkshire's favorite energy company for years now. Yeah, like I don't know a lot about them, to be honest, but they have been a Berkshire sort of staple in this space for a while.
Yeah, right.
So topped up the position there as well. Oxy is the ticker on over in the States if you're interested in doing your own research and learning more. But a few older school tech, Apple and HP, a few energy stocks, Chevron and Occidental, a couple of other stocks, but one in particular that stood out for me was Activision Blizzard.
Yeah, he went large.
Yeah, and so this... is a merger arbitrage bet. So let's explain what that is.
Go for it.
Okay. So when a takeover is announced, a takeover price is announced, the share price of the company that is being acquired will move towards the takeover price, but not to the takeover price. And the gap between the price that's been announced and the share price is basically, it reflects the possibility that the deal won't happen. And as the deal gets more and more likely, as the board votes in favor of it, as shareholders vote in favor of it, as regulatory hurdles are removed or jumped over, in theory, that takeover, that share price moves closer and closer to the takeover price because it's more and more likely that the deal happens.
Mm.
And investing in the company at the start of the takeover
process,
yeah, and then expecting that gap to close is known as merger arbitrage.
Yeah.
And so that's what they've done with Activision Blizzard. Microsoft have announced the takeover.
Yes.
And so Buffett is basically saying that the takeover is going to happen.
Yeah. So I think Microsoft said that the takeover target price or what they're going to be paying would be about $95 per share. And currently Activision is trading at 77.
Okay. Yeah. So that's a decent gap.
So that's assuming Buffett is right, then he's going to make a decent margin there. So
yeah, make $18 a share on a $77 share price.
Good play, big bet, assuming it's going to go through. But look, if it doesn't, this might not be the end of takeover offers for Activision anyway.
I think the counterpoint to that is the Twitter story, because the Twitter story is a classic example of a merger arbitrage bet gone wrong. Twitter gets the Elon offer price of $54.20. The rest of tech sells off massively. But there would have been people that invested in Twitter in this same logic. Like Elon's acquiring it at $54.20. It was trading in like the mid-40s, like $44, something like that, $42. So you're like, oh, well, I'll make up the difference when Elon completes it. But then Elon starts tweeting about bots, Tesla shares lose value, so the value of Elon's collateral goes down. Everyone's getting super nervous. Twitter falls meaningfully. It's now in the 30s, was it?
Twitter?
Yeah, so it's now trading at 37 and, you know, in the last month, it's lost 25%.
Yeah, wow.
So that's the counterpoint. When the merger gets less likely, the gap will widens. Grow.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm just looking at the Activision price. It's fascinating. So about the 10th of Jan or thereabouts was when Microsoft announced that they wanted to buy Activision at $95 a share. At the time, it was trading at $63. Oof. So huge premium there. Yeah. It jumped up to about $82 and has really just, despite everything that's been going on in markets, it's only dropped about 5% from its peak. So you're right. It feels like the market are definitely signaling that this is likely to go through with the price at the moment. And yeah, if it does, 77 to 95. But that's not to say everyone should go out there and do this arbitrage. Definitely comes with risks.
The Twitter example is a classic example of how it goes wrong. The Activision Blizzard, probably why Microsoft had to pay such a big price is because the company had been smashed by all those the allegations about like the CEO and stuff like that and their workplace culture. They were getting investigated by like a California government department, and there was a lot going wrong inside the company. So their share price was down on the back of that.
Mm.
Anyway, let's get back to Buffett. Activision Blizzard also goes in the portfolio for the merger arbitrage situation. He expects Microsoft to buy those shares off him in the coming months.
So let's move through to financials. He's taken he's bought 55 million shares in Citigroup, which is valued at about $3 billion. Now, he does love his financials.
Well, he loves them less than he
used to. Yeah, so he used to be a massive fan of Wells Fargo.
Yep.
Massive fan.
First added to the portfolio in 1989.
There you go. Yeah. Huge fan. And I don't think he owns any of it anymore. I think he's sold out almost entirely.
Sold the last chunk of it this quarter.
Yeah, and he's also gone into Goldman and JP Morgan, but is, I think, equally becoming a little bit cold on them at the moment.
Sold both of them in the last few years.
There you go. Sold both in the last few years.
I think
years.
He sold JP and Goldman in 2020.
But has now gone $3 billion large on Citigroup.
Yeah.
So interesting, interesting there. I'm not really sure why.
He obviously sees something in Citigroup that like they're undervalued, I guess. But it's an interesting one that he held Wells Fargo from 1989. He held them through the scandal. Do you remember that fake account scandal they had?
Yeah.
Held them all through that. Held them through the like massive drop in interest rates. And like Wells Fargo does a lot of consumer banking. Smaller interest rate spreads hurt those consumer banks. And then he sells the last chunk of it just as interest rates start to rise in America.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting timing conversation. But,
Well, I've just got the
going to doubt him.
Yeah, well, I've just got the Financial Times up here as well, and general consensus is also a bit of confusion as to why he's done it. But they close out saying that there was similar confusion when he went large on Apple after years of saying he's not going to touch tech. So who knows what the Oracle of Omaha knows in the background.
Yeah. So that's financials. He also bought into a company, Ally Financial, ticker ALLY, that I think do insurance and a bunch of other financial services. This guy loves an insurance company. He's never met an insurance company he doesn't want to bring under
loves
his wing.
Loves the financial insurance.
If you loved insurance as much as Warren Buffett, it would just make you a better investor. Like if that's what got you up in the morning, like insurance premiums, risk management, reinsurance.
Don't get me wrong, I'd buy an insurance company.
You would buy one?
Yeah, the float.
I wouldn't know like where to start. Like, is QBE better than Suncorp? Well, yeah, you should know what you're buying.
No. Just buy them all. Bang.
Okay. And that is why earlier when we said you shouldn't emulate Bryce Lesky, it's that cowboy attitude. But look, let's close out the Warren Buffett stuff. Three companies that we couldn't group.
Yeah.
I'll say them. You give me your thoughts. Paramount Global.
Yeah, super interested on Paramount. This, I mean, you look at what's happening in streaming at the moment, very competitive space. You look at what's happened with Netflix, Disney is surging, and he's gone large on Paramount. So fascinated to know why.
Yeah. Paramount Plus, have you got it?
No, don't think I will.
I got it for the Uber thing.
Yeah.
To be fair, I didn't get it. My housemate got it.
Yeah.
Uber thing is exactly, have you watched Billions?
Yes.
It's similar to that. Like, it's...
I can imagine.
No offense to any of our American listeners, but it's very American.
Of course, yeah. Super pumped. But yeah, unsure. It's an interesting play.
Yeah.
For me. What else did he do?
Liberty Global. Oh, Liberty Media.
Formula One.
Formula One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tick of approval from me, just because I love Formula One.
Every article about this was like, oh, I guess Buffett watched Drive to Survive.
Potentially. Good market research.
I think he probably did some more work. Remembering a previous conversation we had with Andrew Brown, he spoke about the Liberty Media companies as some of the most difficult companies to analyze from like a corporate ownership perspective. Now, I don't know if they've straightened that out or anything like that, but again, Buffett does the work to understand this stuff.
Yeah.
Sees it. But yeah, Formula One, not bad.
Yeah, not bad.
Having a moment.
Yes.
Will that moment last though?
Yes.
I haven't watched Drive to Survive.
It will last.
But I really would love to understand what the split of people who enjoy the sport are and people who enjoy the documentary are.
Well, I didn't enjoy the sport and now I love it.
Yeah. But like, do you think if Drive to Survive stopped, you would still be into Formula One?
Yeah. Like I don't care about Drive. I didn't even finish the last season. I knew what happened. But now I watch the season.
Oh, okay. That's
like it's my – now I'm ahead of the seasons now.
Yeah.
And
this is why I think Netflix is going to be fine.
Anyway, let's keep moving.
Who has the cultural power to get Bryce Lesky to like a new sport?
Netflix.
Exactly. All right, final one, General Motors.
If I'm to think about owning a car company, I would be going Volkswagen. But what do I know?
Nothing. That's what we've established this episode. Nah, I see it. I mean, the charts about the Tesla valuation are pretty crazy, even though it's come off a bit. General Motors... The reason that people are buying it at the moment is because of Cruise, that self-driving subsidiary that they bought. But I don't believe that's the reason Warren Buffett would buy the company. Mr. I don't invest in cutting-edge tech. I invest in cash flow and proven businesses.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be taking a punt on an autonomous driving startup.
Yeah.
So he's got to see something else in General Motors. But I found that an interesting one because everything else you read about General Motors investor letters and stuff like that is
Cruise.
You know, Cruise, yeah.
We've spoken about what he is selling, and that was Wells Fargo, formerly one of his biggest positions, and now no longer. So he is also active on the sell side, but still plenty of cash on his balance sheet that I'm sure we'll continue to see him deploy over the next few months if things continue the way they are. He's a super patient investor. And waits for moments like this.
Yeah, he spent less than half of the cash on his balance sheet.
Yeah.
So he said that in the last meeting, he wants about 30 bill in cash or short-term treasuries as just like a buffer. But that still leaves tens of billions of dollars to spend.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's turn our attention to Cathy Wood. Before we do, we're going to take a very short break to hear from our sponsors. All right, Ren. So we've had Buffett. Now let's turn to the other end of the spectrum: high growth, risk on, pedal to the metal, and that is Cathy Wood and her ARK funds. Now, as we said at the top of the show, launched her name into the world of investing, particularly during COVID, with a lot of success with her ETFs, huge inflows. Subsequently, her ETFs have taken a hit, but despite the massive sell off going on, ARK does continue to see inflows into her funds, which is fascinating.
This is a dynamic that is worth paying attention to because everyone thought that ARK's ETFs would get blown up in a market sell-off. Investors would redeem their money, which would force ARK to then sell the units of that ETF, and then that pushes the price of those companies further down. But weirdly, and I genuinely don't have an explanation other than people are buying the dip, even though it keeps dipping, is ARK Innovation, their flagship ETF, down 56% this year, down 61% over the past year, down about 20% from where when COVID hit. So all of those COVID gains have been given back and then some. ARK's Innovation ETF, $7.8 billion AUM, assets under management, has seen a net inflow of more than $1.5 billion.
Yeah. So I had a bit of a read about this. They reckon there's a lot to do with her cult status, and there's just such conviction in her, and she's such a great marketer. Like, she is just – she convinces you that despite what's going on in markets, I am doubling down on my convictions here. I am not wavering from the thesis of these companies. The market does, like, it doesn't matter what's happening right now. I am in this for the long term. And I think as an investor, you want to hear that from some of your fund, from the managers that you're giving your money to. And so I can see that she's been able to convince those that are investing in her funds that she's the right person to take control of your money now and take the make the best of this opportunity. But it is fascinating, huge inflows, when I would imagine if you were to look at similar ETFs both here in Australia and around the world, you might expect to see some outflow activity, particularly from retail investors.
We should actually look at that, because I actually don't know what has happened, but that information is all public. We could have a look at ETFs, and I reckon I would bet my future house on the fact that Vanguard's two super vanilla ones, Australian VGHS shares,
or whatever,
and Australian share VAS,
yeah, VAS,
and then the international one would see inflows.
Yeah, probably.
Like rain, hail, or shine,
people and
dollar cost averaging investors just keep that one ticking along.
Well, let's pick that up next week.
Yeah, but ARK, so innovation we just spoke about, their Genomic Revolution ETF down 48% this year. Their FinTech Innovation ETF down 56% this year. Transparency ETF down 33% this year. The ARK Space Exploration and Innovation ETF down 23% this year. I mean, all of them are down. I saw this funny tweet that I screenshotted. Someone tweeted, they love how all of ARK's funds are increasingly the same. And this is tongue in cheek. Like, these aren't their actual, these may not be their actual holdings, but genomics, Tesla, Zoom, Roku, Square. Robots, Tesla, Zoom, Roku, Square. Space, Tesla, Zoom, Roku, Square. 3D printing, same again.
Yeah. I mean, feckle.
But the funniest thing I think with ARK, so ARK has become a bit of a meme ETF. There is a Inverse ARK Innovation ETF by Tuttle Capital, and it is short ARK's ETF, and it basically tries to give the inverse of ARK's returns. So if ARK's Innovation ETF goes up 1%, it will go down 1% and vice versa. And as you can guess, this year, Tuttle Capital short Innovation ETF has had a good year.
That's epic. I did not know that. It's up 80% this year.
Yeah.
Wow. There you go. Well, that's classic. I really like that. I didn't know that existed. No, I definitely wouldn't be buying it. But if you are in it, well done. You've done pretty well this year.
I feel like it probably a lot of people viewed it as a tactical trade.
Yeah.
It's like rather than shorting the S&P 500, there's some really established companies in there that make a profit. This is like the tactical,
the growth short,
the unprofitable growth short.
Yeah. I like that.
So, like, look, we probably missed our boat on this one, given that a lot of these companies are down like 90%.
I mean, who knows? We can never say that they're not going to go even
further. True. As we've learned, a company can fall 10% a day forever.
Well, it could fall 90% a day forever.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, let's hope that doesn't happen. But what is Cathy actually buying? Because we've said she keeps doubling down. So let's take a look at some of the stocks that she is doubling down on.
Okay. And as you get those stocks up, you name the stocks. I'll tell you how much they're down year to date.
All right, so we're going to start with one of the largest positions that she's doubled, if not tripled, down on, and that is Coinbase. So in the last 2 weeks, despite everything that's going on in crypto, which is also being smashed, people saying we're going into a bit of a winter, ARK has added about 860,000 shares into Coinbase. And at current prices, at the time of recording anyway or writing, this was about a $60 million position. So, Ren, what's the damage on Coinbase?
Year to date?
Yeah.
Down 73%.
Oof. Well, I mean, she's getting a bargain.
She is.
So, Roku.
Well, I think that is going to be the point of a lot of what we say here is she's either incredibly right or she's incredibly wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But like more so than like Buffett, you know, like
yeah.
The bull case and the bear case on HP, like the range of outcomes is a lot smaller band than like the bull and the bear case for Coinbase.
Yes.
That range of outcomes is like 100 times your money or lose all of your money, you know?
Well, let's turn to another, and it's Roku. So a streaming platform, it has now become the biggest holding in the ARK ETF, ARKK, overtaking Tesla. What are we talking here, Ren? A stock that is in favor with a lot of experts we speak to.
Down 64% year to date.
Okay, not as bad as Coinbase.
And yeah, it's not really something we see a lot in Australia, but if you're interested in Roku, there's it's a lot bigger in America. Its technology is being built directly into TVs. I don't really get it, but Americans seem to really like
it. Yeah, we'll have to go over to the States and do a bit of a road trip to find out.
We're both Apple TV operators over here. So, I guess it's like a alternative to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Zoom, a stock that went nuts during COVID. They've added, what's the damage?
Well, you see, they're only down 45% year to date.
Oh, only 45%.
But you know why that is?
No.
It's because they started falling a lot earlier. They're down about 75% from like middle of last year.
Okay, that makes sense.
I just want to say about Zoom, regardless of what you think about the stock, the thing that I am really impressed by is how they became the verb.
Let's jump on Zoom. They're like the Google.
We use Google Hangouts because it's free and it's part of it. We
pay
G Suite
for it, but yeah.
Yeah. but when we still say, are we going to jump on the Zoom?
Do we?
Yeah, I think so.
I say Hangouts, but anyway.
Do you?
Yeah.
I've never heard you say that.
Anyway, let's keep going. So C, they've added a position in C. It's one of the super apps headquartered in Singapore, I think. Yeah, digital entertainment, e-commerce, all things related. What's the damage?
Down 66% year to date.
Okay, more bargains galore. And then Roblox. Oh, one of my favorite companies. Not too favorite, though. There are risks involved with Roblox and investing, just making that very clear.
Well,
And what's the damage? I got this in when we IPO'd. So where are we? Are we down?
We IPO'd.
I'm part of Roblox.
down 71% year to date.
Below IPO price? Yeah, it must be. Or close to it.
IPO price, $70 by the looks of things. Well, that's at least the first price on Google.
Yeah,
it's now
around that.
29.
Yeesh. So, you're underwater if you're on Roblox, and that's a bet on the future of online gaming and metaverse and those sorts of things.
So just to sum up, some of the biggest companies that they're buying are Coinbase, Roku, Zoom, C Limited, Roblox. Are any of them profitable? Actually, I think a couple of them are.
Surely C is. No.
I think Roku might be. Roku's got a PE ratio according to Google. That's the start. Zoom maybe and Coinbase maybe.
Do your own research. let's keep moving.
But let's keep moving because the really interesting thing here, Cathie Wood, if she's been known to be an advocate for one company, what is it?
Tesla.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was her biggest holding. I would be interested to know what her returns were in the last 3 years ex Tesla.
Yeah.
Like if you strip Tesla out from the fund, reallocated according to the distribution of everything else, Tesla drove a lot of their returns. But interestingly, they sold about 333,000 shares of Tesla in the quarter, worth about $200 million. Which, again, sounds like a lot of money. They still own $1.7 billion in the automaker.
Yeah, car maker,
robot company.
Yeah.
But still, they're reducing the weighting of Tesla in the portfolio is the headline.
Yeah.
Because everything else they're buying more of because they've got net inflows, but net they're selling Tesla, which means they've decided that they're going to reduce the weighting of Tesla.
Yeah. Well, speaking of weightings, it is still the third largest holding in ARK. Roku is their largest at 8.27%. Zoom, second largest at 7.85%. And then Tesla, not too far off at 7.79%. So top three. And then Exact Sciences and Block close out the top five.
Yeah, Block's also been smashed, hasn't it?
Yeah. So Coinbase is their ninth largest position at 4.2%. And there are a total of 35 holdings in the company. So look, we've been saying that this is an opportunity for investors. Don't take this as a moment of fear and feeling overwhelmed. We are seeing the best investors in the world deploying cash at this time. So I'm not saying that that's the right thing to do for everybody, but we said last week that market crashes in hindsight are an opportunity, in market crashes in the future are a risk. Or the way you look at them. So, the big dogs are doing it.
Let me put it this way. Whatever asset class you want to invest in, This isn't a piece of advice about any particular asset class. This is just generally everything is down. House prices are softening.
Yeah, I don't think they're down though. But anyway,
that's as good as you get in Australia. Interest rates are up. Face value of bonds is down. Stock market getting smashed. Crypto markets getting smashed. NFTs, worthless.
I think high-end art's still doing very well.
Okay.
Yeah, and
okay.
High-end luxury cars, very
okay.
well.
Yeah, good to know. Okay, well, the majority of the asset classes are down. So I think this is the moment where whatever you're interested in,
have a look around.
It's exciting.
Yes.
And so, you know, do your own work. Don't follow Bryce. If we could get that printed on shirts, maybe.
Anyway.
Yeah, I'm excited. Sell your dogs, buy good stuff.
All right, Ren. Well, look, before we close out, there's plenty of content in the Equity Mates network. And one of my favorites for this week, and one that I would recommend you definitely go and listen to, is the interview on Crypto Curious. The team sat down with Australian cricket champion and all-around good bloke Steve Smith.
We got to shake his hand.
We
didn't get a photo, though.
We didn't get a photo. In classic style, Ren and I didn't get a photo. But yeah, look, go and listen to that episode with the Crypto Curious team. They dig into a bit of Steve Smith's NFT portfolio. So if you're interested in knowing what is exciting him in the crypto markets, head over to Crypto Curious. What about you, Ren?
So Comedian The Economist last week released a episode and Thomas gave a pretty interesting recap on the election. Didn't speak about the results, but rather spoke about the four moats that traditionally protected the duopoly parties and how those moats were getting disrupted. So if you didn't think you'd had enough political coverage and you wanted your political coverage with a bit of an economic lens over the top, but I just found it a really interesting way to conceptualize and I guess ground the numbers that we saw in some of our business jargon and the idea of their moats getting disrupted. So that was a really interesting one. I'd go suggest giving it a listen.
Nice one. Crypto Curious, Comedian The Economist, and head to equitymates.com to find out more info on all the other shows in the Equity Mates network. Don't forget to head to equitymates.com/finfest as well to register for early bird access. You'll only get early bird access if you're on the registration list. But Ren, as always, it's great to chat stocks and we'll pick it up next week.
Sounds good.
Equity Mates Investing Podcast is a product of Equity Mates Media. All information in this podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only. EquityMates gives listeners access to information and educational content provided by a range of financial service professionals. It is not intended as a substitute for professional finance, legal, or tax advice. The hosts of EquityMates Investing Podcast are not financial professionals and are not aware of your personal financial circumstances. Equity Mates Media does not operate under an Australian Financial Services Licence and relies on the exemption available under the Corporations Act 2001 in respect of any information or advice given. Before making any financial decisions, you should read the product disclosure statement and, if necessary, consult a licensed financial professional. Do not take financial advice from a podcast or video. For more information, head to the disclaimer page on the Equity Mates website, where you can find ASIC resources and find a registered financial professional near you. In the spirit of reconciliation, Equity Mates Media and the hosts of Equity Mates Investing Podcast acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea, and community. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people today.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.